and welcome to this week's message from Michelle Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
But I love being part of the family, as Ed said, and it really feels like a family. And hearing like baby news this morning, you know, it really just is, isn't it? You're part of a family, things happen in life, and people have babies, people get sick, people get well. And, you know, that is what being part of a family is all about. And it's so precious. As Ed said, I do absolutely love being part of the family. I love embracing it. I love getting stuck in. And just to say, you know, if you've been around a while and you're kind of feeling like you're not part of the family, can I just say, don't sit on the edges. You only become part of the family by getting stuck in, okay? We only have people over for dinner because I invite them. You know, it's that kind of like the way it works as part of a family, isn't it? You know, you're part of a family. You can't help being part of a family. So if you're a believer, you're part of God's family. But you can choose how involved you get. And you can either sit on the edge and kind of feeling like, oh, the church is unfriendly. Or you can get stuck in and go, oh, actually, this church is so friendly. I think you guys are really friendly, okay? Like, I could go up to any of you guys that are near here and just go, hey, look, can you just grab a coffee for a minute? And I know you'll go like, oh, yeah, totally, Shell, especially if I'm buying, right? But that's like what it is like to be part of a family is as you apply yourself, as you embrace it, then actually that's how you feel like you are part of a closer family. And so I want to encourage you this morning, you know, don't sit on the outside. Don't just sit and spectate, but actually get involved and be a part of what is going on. And I love stories. I love families. I just love belonging. And Ed and I had a bit of a crazy couple of weeks, actually, a few weeks ago. And we were away and on trains doing conferences. And I did colour conference with some of our ladies, which was fab. And it was fun. And then we did the Alpha conference at Holy Trinity Brompton, the C of E. Alpha, all about, you've heard a bit about Alpha, I guess. If you've like looked at buses or, you know, seen any church, I mean, Anglican churches, often there's a big Alpha sign around. And then finally, we went to the Free Methodist Conference, which is a denomination that we are part of. And it was a crazy few days, but I came back just so excited because we just heard so many stories, so many adventures, so many things that were going on around the world. And like life stories, people, things that happen in people's lives, you know, getting people's news, but also faith stories and what God is doing all over the world. And we heard incredible stories of lives changed. We saw this eccentric, that's the right word, isn't it, artist who was like he just looked the most interesting guy. Danny and Alex were actually with us, and I think you guys were like, oh, it was cool, and Ed was like, I just didn't get him, you know, but that's because Ed's not an artist, but that's okay. But, you know, he just encountered God's love. He really encountered God's love. We heard from a guy who was a lawyer who discovered that actually being a Christian is a reasonable argument, and in fact, he discovered in the end it was unreasonable not to believe in God. We saw an interview with some film stars who are now in Hollywood who were there going, actually, God's put us here to shape culture. And hearing their stories was amazing. And then this black guy got up, this like big, like, I don't know how tall he was, like 6.5 foot tall. I'm looking at Alex, but he was like 3 foot wide as well. Yeah. And he'd been a drug dealer and carried guns. He'd like become really rich. He'd got these fast cars and all totally illegal, right? But then he met the love of God, because the thing is, what he was doing was living a life that was full of crime and hate because no one had ever loved him. And he experienced the love of God and his life was transformed. And he gave it all up, you know, the fast cars, whatever, because what he had found, what he actually had discovered in his life was actually worth far more than all of that stuff. And I just came back from all these places just so excited about what God is doing, because I just love hearing people's stories. I love hearing of lives transformed. I love hearing where people have been hopeless and found hope. I love hearing all about what God is doing in changing, you know, nations, changing families, and bringing hope in some of the darkest places. So today, as you can see, I am a little different, but I wanted to give you, not really a message, but I wanted to have a chat with you. So I want you to imagine you sat around the coffee table with me, rather than sat in church listening to a message, because I just want you to kind of lean into a little bit of what I'm saying as if we were just friends sat around a coffee table. So does that sound okay? Awesome. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a conversation over a cup of tea. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you're in this place. God, I thank you that you love us, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. God, I thank you that you're right here, right now. And God, I pray that if there's anyone in this place who doesn't know your love, God, if there's anyone here who's going, like, God just seems so far away, but I've got some questions. God, I pray this morning that they may come to understand there is a God in heaven who loves them, that is right here, right now, and wants to have a relationship with them. And God, I pray that you'll help those who do know you, God, that you'll help us to be able to help others understand your love more and more in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, excuse me one moment, because I can't waste a nice cup of tea. So I have a question for you this morning. I love asking questions. Do you love asking questions?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Some of you do. Okay. So we heard from a guy called Craig Groeschel, who is a leadership guru. He's like, if you want to, whatever area of life you're in, if you want to lead better, he's got a good podcast. And he said, I love asking questions. He said, because if I ask questions, then I might learn something. And I'm like, yeah, well, if he's saying that and he knows, like, I know this much and he knows this much, then I am going to ask questions because there's definitely a lot of stuff I don't know. But I love hearing people's stories. And wherever I am, if you're ever with me and ever travel with me, if I sit on a train, unless someone's there really obviously don't want to talk to me, I always say, hey, how are you doing? You know, I don't just go put my headphones in straight away. And often you just get involved in these really interesting conversations. And I think maybe Pastor Ed mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but I met this really fascinating lady on the train. And I've learned so much just from talking to her. Oh my goodness, she is so passionate about what she loves. She works for the Football Association, and she runs, she's publicising and promoting football leagues for people with disabilities. People with amputees and, you know, people with all kinds of disabilities that wouldn't necessarily be involved in normal sport. And she must have talked for like half an hour about this sport. She was just so passionate about it. She showed me videos, you know, like she was there. And since I've got back, she's actually given my email details to someone locally who's involved in it and got them to get in touch with me. So passionate is she about what she does. And I just love opening up conversations with people. And I just want to encourage you, like, you know, listen to people. People are really interesting. But you know what? We all have a story. We all have something in our lives that we're passionate about. We all have our own life journey. You know, you have where you lived, where you were born, your job, your marriage, your kids, and all of those things can connect in with other people. There's things about you that other people are going to come along and be really interested in because, you know, your story, it does matter. Your story is there for a reason. You know, I grew up initially in a place called Wharton, where a lot of our young people come from that come in an evening, moved to Lancaster, have a sister, have parents, got married, have three children, did youth work, had the opportunity to invest some money in houses, which means we could then build our own. You know, like there's really interesting things that I think are interesting in my life, but someone else might go, oh, yeah, we've done houses as well. And you've got this whole thing that, you know, real interesting thing to talk about. And I don't know what it is in your life. I know, Phil, it's definitely not chick flicks, right? But I reckon that Irish. She's Irish. I reckon that Eilish has to watch a fair bit of football as well. Am I right? Bit of a nod of head. So, you know, you might think you've got it hard, Phil, watching chick flicks. But I know that she suffers. Because it's like, I'd be like with Eilish, she's like, well, why watch all the scenes? Why don't we just get the result? I'm about the overarching theme, mate. Come on. Did they win or did they lose? Right, I've now ostracised half the congregation. If you're into football, I apologise. I am going somewhere with this, I promise. I'll just get back to my notes. I'm here, really. But the whole thing about stories is I love how God puts our lives together. But also behind my life, there's also a faith story. There's a faith journey. And all of us in this room believe something about God. The fact that you're even here this morning means you believe something about God. Some of you maybe don't believe that God exists, and you're going like, fine, show me. Some of you maybe are here and you're just saying, oh, I've never really thought about God, but I kind of thought I should come this morning. Some of you, you know, maybe had a relationship with God or God was involved somehow in your life, but you've maybe just switched off to God and you've gone, I just don't think there's any power in this. I don't think there's anything in this whole faith thing. I'm just not sure anymore. Some of you maybe think God's a historical figure or has no significance or value today. Well, some of you maybe, you know, you kind of know it, but you've never done anything about it. But others of you, you've made a decision to be a Christian, which means a follower of Christ. It means that you're here to follow Christ and you want to live for him, because that's what a Christian is. It's not just someone that kind of believes in Jesus rather than in Muhammad, but it's someone that follows Jesus. And I have a faith story, and I wanted to start this morning by sharing a little bit of my kind of faith story with you before I come to the reason why I'm doing it. You see, when I was a child, I was afraid of dying, and all children go through this, right? If you've had children growing up, you know that they come across with this at times during their life. And I had this recurring dream, because we live near a motorway and there was a bridge near the motorway, and I just dreamt that I was falling off this bridge, and as I got to the bottom, I would wake up with a jolt. And I would always wake up before I hit the bottom crying. And one night I remember waking up terrified, and my mum was just sat with me, and like she often, you know, did when this happened. And she sat with me, she put her arm around me, and she just explained that, you know, Michelle, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid, because God, who made all of this, all the earth, actually loved you enough to send Jesus to earth to die on a cross, to rise again from the dead, to defeat death, so you don't need to be afraid anymore. And I was like, I mean, I was six, right? So it was pretty simple. But I was like, okay, how? And she just said, well, let's just pray. And we prayed together, and she prayed with me, and she just led me in a really simple prayer, which just said, God, you know, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I'm sorry for the bad stuff I do. Please forgive me. You know, please help me to follow you. I trust you. Please take away my fear. Really simple. Probably wasn't those words, but it was something like that. And you know, from that time on, the dream stopped. From that time on, the fear left. And if I did ever have that dream, it wasn't associated with the fear that was before, but it was so simple. And you know, as adults, we can really overcomplicate things. We can really make things complicated. But you know what the Bible actually says is it's really simple. So we're going to have a look at some scripture from Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read from verses 1 to 5. So if you've got your Bible, if it's on your phone, then turn to it right now. I just want to read these verses to you. And it says this. At that time, so Jesus is on earth now. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. You see, we have to be really childlike in our faith. Because when a child is told something, they accept it. You know, if you've ever had a child that's gone to school and their teacher showed them a new way to do maths, they come home and they're like, Mum, this is how you divide. And I'm like, no, this isn't how you divide. And they're like, my teacher said this is how it works. And then all of the things that you've learned, they don't believe, even though you've got like 30 years more experience, because their teacher, who they trust, says this is how you do maths. And if you've been a maths teacher a while, then maths division, you take the number, you work out how many times it goes in the flipping number, and then you come out with the answer. I mean, what on earth is this chunking method? You know, it's like... But, you know, children, they take what the teachers say. They take what you've told and they believe it. And God is just really saying simply, you know, if you want to follow me, if you want to know who I am, then you have to have that kind of trust. Don't overcomplicate things. Don't put the barriers up. Don't put the boundaries up. Just say, God is just really simply saying, will you trust me? And that's really all that God is saying. It's like, will you take away all the stuff that you've got going in your life, and will you look to me, and will you trust me with who you are? And, you know, it's not just a message if you don't believe. That's a message this morning if you do believe. You know, James just so brilliantly set up the Another in the Fire song. You know, some of you this morning, you're feeling like you're in the fire. You're feeling like life is tough. Maybe things aren't going how you thought they would go. And God is just really simply saying to you this morning, will you become like a child again? And will you trust me? Will you trust me? Because it starts with simple trust. But the future really opens up to so much more. So we're going to have a check out of a video of somebody who I think you might recognize and their faith journey.
What does it take to live a life of adventure? The truth is, the first step is always the hardest. That's the one that takes the most courage. But I've learned not to run from that fear and just do it. My Christian faith can be a little up and down, like any relationship. It has struggles and it has doubts. But it's so often brought light to a dark path, warmth to a cold mountain, and strength to a failing body. I remember crawling onto the summit of Everest and clearing the snow from my mask to see the curvature of the earth at the edges. But finding a simple faith that empowers my life, to me, that's been my greatest adventure.
So you'll recognise Bear Grylls there. He's been on the summit of Everest. And he says that my faith is my light to a dark path, warmth to a cold mountain, strength to my failing body. And then he says these words, finding a simple faith that empowers my life. That has been my greatest adventure. And that just blows me away. That just blows me away, because whatever else you've got in your life, like the thing that God changes, that is the biggest adventure, because he then sets you up for the future, whether it's from fear to faith, whether it's from loneliness to being loved, whether it's from seemingly being unreasonable imagination of who God is to realizing that actually true belief is there. You know, God has done so much for me. God has done so much for me. He loves me, whatever I've done. He knows my messes, my past messes, my present messes, and my future messes. When I ask him, when I follow him, he gives me peace. He gives me courage to face the situations. They're outside of my comfort zone, outside of my control. And he gives me the words to say when I don't have the words to say. And God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I'm significant to him, not just for what I do, but because he loves me just as I am. He's changing me to be more like him as I spend time in his presence. And you know what? He wants to do all those things to you too. He wants you to have that assurance. He wants you to say, yeah, do you know what? God gives me peace when I'm struggling. God gives me courage to face the situations when I just don't know what to do. God's changing you as you spend time in his presence. And the more I think on this, I don't know about you, but the more I want to tell people, the more that I realize what God has done for me, the more that when people are going through those difficult situations, I feel like God's given me something to share. You know, when people are struggling, they're newly married. I'm kind of like, I've been there. I've been newly married. Let me just tell you how it was for us. You know, when you're struggling with different things in your life, like find someone else that's ahead of you on the journey and just go, hey, look, can I just talk to you about this? Will you just talk to me? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I wonder this morning, what is your heart full of? What is coming out of your mouth? You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he called his disciples. Well, he didn't actually call all his disciples, right? Did you know that? Jesus called some of his disciples. The other ones were called by his disciples. Because Jesus called Andrew, and Andrew went, hang on a minute, let me go get Simon. Jesus called Philip, and Philip went, let me go get Nathaniel. When Jesus healed people, they told everyone, like they really told everyone, so much so that Jesus had to disappear off and withdraw, it says, from the crowd from time to time because there were so many people following him. And that was because other people had told them. The lame man who was healed after Jesus had died by the disciples, it says, he didn't go quietly walking, he went walking, leaping, and praising God. You know, this, as Ed says at the beginning, Pastor Ed, there's two questions you never need to ask. The first is this, does God want me to pass it on? Does God want me to tell people what I found? Really? Does he? Yeah, oh my word. And the second is this, does God love this person enough to want them to know? Because if you know God, you know he does. You know God, you know he does. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4 is going to come up behind me, but I actually want to read the bit before it as well, but you can put it up. Thanks, guys. And it says this, it says, I urge them, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. That's like, let's pray for everyone. It says, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Okay, you ready? So this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to know him. It's not just for the few. It's not just for us that sit in here on a Sunday. You know, it's not just for the one or two people that we know, but God is passionate about everyone knowing him. He was so passionate that he sent Jesus to the cross. He was so passionate that he got his 12 disciples and then he sent them out. He was so passionate, he then sent out the 72. He was so passionate that when he went to heaven, he was like, that 72 is not enough, but actually go, I'm sending all of you. He says, go, I'm sending all of you to make disciples. He says, I'm sending all of you to go baptizing people. I'm sending all of you. It's not a message for just us that are on the platform, but it's a message for all of us. And so I've got a couple of thoughts that I want to leave you with. I wanted to set it up with a story because I wanted to take you to this point. But I've got a couple of things that I want to leave with you this morning. And the first is this. Guys, pass on your story. If you have a story of how God has done something in your life, pass it on. Because people need to hear what you know. There's people out there who actually they just need to know that God loves them. They need to know that God can heal. You know, a year ago, before I went to Colour, you know, those of you who know Abby, she's had various health issues through her life. And I just got to the end of myself. And I was about to go to Colour Conference. And she was in tears the night before we went. And she was complaining of ringing in the ears. She'd been walking through a shop with me like a couple of days before and suddenly stopped, held her ears, and like it was hurting. And I was like, God, I just need you to come through. I need you to come through because, you know, we've had problems with eyes, we've had problems with joints, and God, and now this, and my daughter's in tears, and I'm about to go to a women's conference, take a whole heap of our girls. God, I just need you to do something here. And I just said, look, Abby, we're just going to pray, and I'm going to go to Colour because, you know, I could have stayed at home and gone, my child needs me, but I was like, no, I'm doing this. And I was like, I'm going to go to Colour, I'm going to fill in a prayer request, and I'm going to say, God, I just need you to come through. And I went, and I filled in this prayer request. And do you know what? From that moment, she's never complained that her ears have been ringing. And my sister has tinnitus. And I know people that have got tinnitus. And I know how painful it is. And I know God doesn't choose to heal everyone. And she doesn't actually claim that as a healing. She's like, well, sometime. But you know what? She's never complained about it for a year. And I'm going, look, people need to know. People need to know when God does stuff in your lives. You've got a story, guys. God's doing things in your life. It might not be a healing. It might be something in a relationship. It might be that God's given you the strength to get through tough times. But people need to know your story. People need to know your story because there's people around you that need it. And, you know, we're so happy to tell good news. People have had babies this week. Like, it's all over Instagram. It's all over WhatsApp. It's all, like, we're all texting each other. You know, we're on the platform this morning talking about it because it's good news. Yeah. It's amazing. And no one can argue with your story. You know, Dave and Mel have had a baby. Jack and Claire have had a baby. It's a fact. There's a baby. You know what? Things have happened in our lives. People can't deny what's happened in your life because you know it's happened. It's called a testimony. It stands up in a court of law. It's important. And that's why I started by sharing my story. Matthew 9, verse 37 says, the harvest is, well, it says, look, the harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it in. Can you see it? You know, I wonder if you're aware of those around you. See, our generation is called the heads down generation. Why is it called the heads down generation? Sorry. Phones, laptops, Netflix, what do you listen to? Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. You know, we're called the heads down generation because we're always plugged into something else. You know, we're listening to something or watching something, but we're missing out on what is going on around us. There's people around us on trains, on buses, in shopping centres, in the coffee shop. There's people walking around us that God is going like, look, look, look. Is that loud enough? I'm not loud. Look. Is anyone asleep? But God is there going, seriously, he's going, look, there's someone right in front of you. I've brought them here. They're waiting for you to have a conversation with them. Like, what if you just took out your headphones? What if you got your head up out your laptop? What if you realize that I can see them? What if you can see them through my eyes? Because that's what God is saying. He's like going, don't focus in on your problems all the time. Realize that I'm here. Realize that I'm working. And realize I've got something for you to do. I've got people here that need to hear your story. Be present wherever you are. And maybe you're here this morning and you're going, I don't have a story yet, Michelle. I just want you to know, God is interested in you, and God wants you to have a story. There's a story waiting right for you if you'll just say yes to Jesus. So firstly, pass on your story. Secondly, pass on the love of God. Pass on the love of God. You know, telling a story, talking to people about Jesus is never meant to be weird. You know, the guy who holds a sign up that says the end is nigh, or the guy that's shouting out as you go through the shops in Manchester, everyone's going to hell. You know what? I'm not saying God won't use those people, but in general, like, most people are put off by people like that. And you know, the Bible does have some weird stuff in it. I'm not saying that the Bible is all about love all the way through, but fundamentally the overarching theme is about God's love. Because the greatest command of all is this. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we demonstrate the love of God? Well, Joe said last week, you know, really well, you know, we all demonstrate it in different ways. We give our time, we give our gifts. In fact, I was in the coffee shop this week and I was just following behind someone and they got a free coffee. They got a gift of a free coffee because Mike had donated, like, you know, the full things you get of coffee. He just left them behind the counter and said to Danny or whoever was on there, can you just give whoever comes in next a free coffee? And so this lady was going like, I never get anything free. I never win anything. And she was blown over by the fact someone had gifted her with the coffee. You know, some of us just are so good at giving gifts. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. You know, hey, it's good to see you. Oh, you look amazing today. Oh, that was so kind. Mike, that was so kind. Well done. We love you for it. You know, we can all speak words of affirmation, appropriate touch. Acts of service. Pastor James is just like excels in this, doesn't he? He's always wanting to help somebody. He's just awesome. You know, we all have different ways for love, and it doesn't matter how we love. It doesn't matter how you say to people, God loves you. What matters is just doing it. It's just reaching out to your friend or neighbor. And you know what? All those ways of loving come straight from the Bible. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 to 11, it says this. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in all of its various forms. If anyone speaks words of affirmation, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. You see, when you put your arm around a neighbor who is struggling or someone who, you know, is in your workplace, has got a problem at work, you're passing on the love of God. You're demonstrating God's love in the way that he has given you to do that. And so the band are going to come up in a second. I'm not quite sure how, guys. I'm going to stand up, maybe, and then you can move the table. See, as the band come up, Esther chapter 4, verse 4 says this, who knows but that you are called for such a time as this. You see, people want authentic. They don't want fake. People in my world, people that I meet, they're a bit fed up of Christianity that holds no power. They're fed up of hearing about dead churches and unfriendly Christians. They're fed up of walking into churches where they feel like they don't fit in because actually no one wants to go and greet them. No one wants to have a conversation with them. They don't want a formula. They don't want to know you do this, you do that, and then you know you're going to heaven. But they want to know that there's someone who loves them. There's somebody that actually cares enough to spend a moment with them. There's somebody who will actually demonstrate God's love to them. You know, we're never supposed to be beige Christians. You know, the Bible actually says that, you know, if you're lukewarm, if you're like, yeah, Christianity, yeah, then God actually says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. Because he actually says, I don't want you to be that kind of Christian. I want you to be a light on a hill. I want you to be somebody that people can look at and go, that's the way to live. I want you to be somebody who's like, I've got confidence because God is with me. You know, God created all the colors of the world. He created the green depths of the jungle. He created the sunrise that we love to take pictures of, the sunset that we you know, you see on Instagram. He created the deep, darker sea. He created the whole spectrum of color. God wants us to shine brightly as Christians. He wants us to share our stories. He wants us to share the love that he has given us. I wonder if you're a Christian today. How's your light burning? How's your colors doing? Like, do you keep your head down? Are you just going like, oh, I just surviving. I'm just, are you going, yeah, I've got the power of God in me. And sure, I'm just surviving, but God's light is burning bright in my life. How's your colors this morning? I wonder, will you walk around with your head held up? Will you pass on your story? Will you pass on the love of God? Christian life is real simple. It's real simple. It's basically, God says, come to me. If you're not a Christian here this morning, God's saying, come to me. Like, I'm here. And then God says, like, experience my love. Live in my love. And then he just says, pass it on. It's that simple. Three things. Come to me, live in my love, and pass it on. You know, it's just so good to be in the house of God, the family of God.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.